This is Rob Long with Martini Shot on KCRW. When times are bad, people go to the movies. That, at any rate, is what they did during the Great Depression of the 1930s. Those were banner years for movie studios. Audiences filled movie theaters across the globe, desperate for a few hours of relief from the outside world and its relentless bad news. And the Hollywood movies of the 1930s were mostly very sunny and upbeat. They were musicals and romantic comedies, the merry lives of the very rich. Because when you're surrounded by poverty and depression, it's nice to lose yourself for a few hours in glamorous Manhattan skyscrapers and elaborately costumed dance numbers. Show business, in other words, is at its most successful when it delivers relief to the audience, when it counter-programs against the outside world. In the earliest days of the movie business, in fact, motion pictures delivered literal relief. Theaters were among the very few places that had air conditioning in the summer and plentiful warmth in the winter, so sometimes people went to the movies just to be more comfortable. It didn't matter what was playing on the screen. And it's worth noting this rule, especially during these fractious political times, because where movie and TV audiences are going may tell us something about what people are feeling deep down on a subconscious level that they may not even be able to articulate. The TV ratings of Fox News, for instance, the most reliably pro-Trump news outfit in the United States, have encountered a rough patch where once they seemed to be on a permanent upward drift, for the past few months they've slipped a little lower. Now, I'm not suggesting that Fox News fans are changing their minds or that they're abandoning ship. They're just watching something else. Hollywood's business model, after all, is about monetizing the impulse to bury one's head in the sand. But in this age of smaller audiences, where 2 or 3 million people can really make a show a monster hit, sometimes you don't need to be broadly appealing. For instance, Jimmy Fallon was the top performer in a competitive late-night field. His audience was much larger than any of his two competitors. Fallon's act was a classic nice guy routine. His jokes were scrupulously apolitical. His questions to his guests were affably down the middle. And at the same time, his nearest competitor, Stephen Colbert, was stepping up his political commentary, taking sides in the recent presidential campaign and delivering a nightly blast of withering insults directed at candidate and then later President Trump. And clever TV industry analysts, like me, thought this was a suicidal choice. Brilliant and experienced TV veterans, like me, predicted that Stephen Colbert would soon be off the air. Audiences, we said to anyone who would listen, will always prefer the breezy and amiable Jimmy Fallon for their late-night entertainment. What Stephen Colbert is delivering, we said, I said, was the equivalent of homework. And nobody wants homework, least of all at 11:30 p.m. But for the past few weeks, it's been Stephen Colbert who's been winning the ratings battle. His numbers have risen just as Jimmy Fallon's have fallen. The part of the audience that wants to engage in politics has found a perfect home with Stephen Colbert. The part that doesn't is running away, turning off the TV, watching something utterly non-political, and just waiting it out, like movie audiences did 80 years ago, in the air-conditioned dark. And that's it for this week. Next week, we will have music for KCRW. This is Rob Long.